Talk Murder to Me, a true crime tour, is coming to the Denver, Colorado area Thursday, February 10th through Sunday, February 13th. Join the hosts of your favorite true crime podcasts on an all-star panel of true crime experts discussing some curious cases. You'll be joined by Cults, Crimes, and Cabernet, True Consequences, True Crime IRL, and Generation Y. And you'll be enjoying this true crime chat in some pretty cool venues while sipping on craft beers, cocktails, and wine. You can search for the event on Eventbrite by typing in Talk Murder to Me, a True Crime Tour, or you can go to my website, truecrimeirl.com/events, to get all the details and links to buy your tickets. You're not going to want to miss this one-of-a-kind event coming to Colorado in February 2022. And until then, well, you know the drill. Lock your doors, people. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Hey everybody, welcome to season 2 of True Crime IRL, True Crime in Real Life. This is a new limited series called The Manchester Mysteries. You'll still be getting real life stories of crime and unsolved cases, but all wrapped up in a very different package. This season, I'm concentrating on the captivating stories that have come out of one particular small Midwestern town called Manchester. Manchester is both weird and wonderful, with a full cast of interesting characters who have some unique stories to tell. I'll be presenting you with tales of murder, mayhem, and crimes of passion. And I'll be bringing you everything from missing persons cases to questionable suicides, and even a homicide that went unsolved for 40 years. There'll be an element of local folklore to some of our tales, but also a healthy dose of science, DNA technology, forensics, history, government, law, and so much more. And yes, it's all out of one little community in small town America. If you think you had our country's heartland all figured out, well, guess again, because I'll be bringing you stories this season that would make Ted Bundy blush. Season 2 of True Crime IRL, The Manchester Mysteries, debuts January 14th, 2022, and is available everywhere you get your podcasts. Until then, lock your doors, people, even if, or especially if, you live in Manchester. Bye-bye. You're listening to Season 2 of True Crime IRL, The Manchester Mysteries. Although this series is based 100% on factual events, keep in mind that at times we've changed the names of people or places in order to protect the innocent, or in some cases, the guilty. Episode 5. A Man Goes Missing in Manchester. As you know by now, December 19th is a very significant date in the story I'm telling. December 19th, 1979 is the date that Michelle Martinko was brutally murdered in her family's car in the parking lot of Westdale Mall. Almost four decades later, December 19th, 2018, was the date that Michelle's murderer, Jerry Burns, would finally be arrested. But a few years before that, in 2013, something else significant happened on that same date. December 19th, 2013, would be the day that Manchester, Iowa native Brian Burns, who went by the name Farmer, would go missing, never to be seen or heard from again. Brian Farmer Burns was the cousin of Jerry Burns, and they lived in the same town of Manchester. That repeating date, December 19th, is an eerie coincidence that keeps coming up through this entire story, but really, I personally believe that there is no such thing as a coincidence. I obtained the Brian Burns file and Iowa DCI report, and I'm going to read from that now to give you details on Brian Farmer Burns' last known days. Official reports can be a little boring, I know, but I think it gives us a lot of insight into the real facts in this disappearance. This is the official DCI report from case agent Mike Kraffel. So here goes. At the top in bold letters, it says Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. It's got the case number and things like that. But here is the narrative. On Monday, January 6th, 2014, I was contacted by Delaware County Sheriff John LeClaire regarding a missing person case his office was working on in Manchester, Iowa. LeClaire stated that on December 23rd, 2013, the family of Brian Burns reported him missing and that he had not been seen since the morning of December 19th at his residence at 1381 180th Street in rural Manchester, Iowa. LeClaire advised his office had followed up on what minimal leads there were, as Burns does not use any financial instruments or cell phone that could possibly be traced. LeClaire also stated that Burns' personal history of alcohol abuse made it very possible that there was no foul play involved. On January 6, 2014, I met with Sheriff LeClaire, and we reviewed the reports that the Delaware County Sheriff's Office had completed and discussed the interviews that had been done. Sheriff LeClaire had already entered Brian Burns into NCIC as a missing person and posted his information to local media with no results. In reviewing the reports, it was determined that Brian Burns was last seen at his residence on the morning of December 19, 2013, by his brother, Randy Burns. Randy Burns, age 65, is a resident of Arizona who was in Manchester visiting relatives and staying at the family farmhouse with Brian. Brian Burns lives at the family farmhouse permanently with his nephew, LaVon Smith. All three men stayed at the residence the night of December 18, 2013, but Smith reported he did not see Brian Burns on the morning of the 19th because he had already left for work before Randy and Brian got up. Randy Burns reported that he offered Brian Burns a ride to town on the morning of the 19th, which he was accustomed to doing, but Brian declined, stating he already had a ride coming. Randy Burns stated that he did not ask who was providing the ride, and he left the residence. Randy Burns stated Brian was fully dressed at the time and was carrying some books from a collection that they had in one of the outbuildings on the property. Sheriff LeClaire explained that Brian Burns is a functioning alcoholic who works at the Hart Ridge Golf Course about 4 miles from his residence, and that he is known for sleeping in the back of a John Deere Gator in the maintenance garage from Thursday to Sunday, which explained why no one noticed him missing from Thursday, December 19th until Monday, December 23rd. He further explained that Brian Burns, nicknamed Farmer, is a regular at Hart Ridge Golf Course Bar and other bars in town, and that he does not own a car or drive due to multiple OWI convictions. LeClaire stated his office is not aware of Burns having any personal enemies, and it did not appear anyone in the family would want to do Burns harm either. LeClaire reported that Burns has walked to Hart Ridge Golf Course in the past, and that if he did attempt to walk to Hart Ridge on December 19th, it would be difficult to find him due to several feet of snow that had fallen since then. Sheriff LeClaire reported that in late December, his office organized several ground area searches of the area from Burns' residence to the golf course that included drilling into the ice and searching a local river. LeClaire also posted Burns' information on the local media sites and newscasts, but received no information from the public regarding Burns' whereabouts. On January 15, 2014, I interviewed LaVon Smith regarding any information he had regarding Brian Burns. On January 17th, I interviewed Teresa Burns, who is the mother of LaVon Smith and the sister-in-law of Brian Burns. On January 14th, I subpoenaed the cell phone records of Randy Burns from Verizon Wireless. Randy Burns had told the Delaware County Sheriff's Office that he was at the farmhouse on the morning of December 19th, before going into Manchester and running errands with his elderly parents. He reported returning to the farmhouse about 2 p.m. and that Brian was gone. he stated that this was not unusual. He further reported that he was going to be going to Minneapolis on December 20th to visit his wife and returning to Manchester on the 24th or 25th for the family Christmas. Randy told deputies he left for Arizona on the 27th of December and returned to his residence in Prescott, Arizona. Randy was cooperative with law enforcement, but did not seem overly concerned with Brian's disappearance, according to Sheriff LeClaire. A review of the cell phone tower locations appears to corroborate the information Randy Burns gave the Delaware County Sheriff's Office. On February 12, 2014, I interviewed Randy Burns at length over the phone. As of July 29, 2014, Brian Burns has not been located. I have confirmed that Brian Burns' social security information and personal information has not been used in the application for benefits, and he has not attempted to secure new identification. Sheriff LeClaire organized additional searches of the area of Burns' residence in the spring of 2014 once the snow melted and did not locate Burns' body. Brian Burns' father died in Manchester, Iowa on April 1, 2014, and Brian Burns did not return for his funeral, leading many in the family to conclude that Brian Burns is dead. End of narrative. And then there are some official pieces of paper with signatures and dates and notary stamps and things like that. Farmer, as everyone called Brian, worked at Hart Ridge Golf Course in Manchester as a helper and a maintenance man. Although golfing isn't something you do in Iowa in December, Hart Ridge Golf Course also has a bar and a restaurant that's very popular as a place to hang out in Manchester. And even in the wintertime, it's one of the main places that Farmer would hang out. He would frequently sleep there in the maintenance building since he didn't have a driver's license or a vehicle or a cell phone to call people when he needed a ride, so he would just stay there in the garage. It was assumed fairly early on after he went missing that Brian Burns was probably dead. One theory that some locals had was that Brian may have had too much to drink. Maybe he tried walking home from Hart Ridge, which is on the edge of town in a rural area. And some think maybe he was hit by a car. Maybe there was a hit and run that someone tried to cover up or something like that. Or maybe he was just confused and disoriented and maybe he froze to death. But those theories have been quickly extinguished by people who knew Farmer, and even investigators say those things are very highly unlikely to have happened, mainly because there would have been evidence left behind if any of those things happened, and at some point, a body should have turned up, but there was absolutely nothing. Another strange connection to the date of December 19th, 2013, is that just 3 days prior to that, investigators in Michelle Martinko's murder received an anonymous and credible tip. Apparently, on December 16th, 2013, 3 days before Brian Farmer Burns was last seen, a tipster called in to Linn County Crime Stoppers, and they provided investigators with information about Michelle Martinko's murder that occurred on December 19th, 1979. This anonymous person named a possible suspect, and that person has never been released to the public, but investigators followed up on the lead, taking a sample of DNA from the person, but it was not a match to the DNA of the unknown male blood on Michelle's car gear shifter and on her dress. Nevertheless, police deemed a lot of the details this tipster offered as credible, and they reached out via the media for this anonymous tipster to please come forward and reveal their identity so that they could provide more information and maybe even solve this case. But the tipster never came forward again. Why would they go to the trouble of coming forward after so many years but never talk to investigators again? They obviously cared. They obviously had information, and they obviously wanted to help solve this case. But they seemingly just disappeared. Could Brian Farmer Burns have been that anonymous tipster? Could the reason for nobody ever coming forward again be that he went missing? Farmer Burns was the cousin of Jerry Burns. Jerry Burns would later be convicted in Michelle Martinko's murder. The murder happened on December 19th. Farmer disappeared on December 19th. Jerry was arrested on December 19th, all years apart. Do you believe that all of these things are simple coincidences? Maybe they are, but again, I don't believe in coincidences. In very recent news, Brian Burns' family has petitioned the Iowa District Court to have Farmer declared legally dead. And that was done in November of 2021. Again, I'll read from the Brian Burns file that I obtained from the Delaware County Clerk of Court. And I know these can be boring, so bear with me. So it says, in the Iowa District Court, in and for Delaware County, upon the petition of Randy Burns and concerning Brian Burns, comes now petitioner Randy Burns and states, 1. I am an interested person as I am the brother of Brian Burns. 2. Brian Burns was a Delaware County resident on December 20th, 2013, when he was reported missing. 3. Brian Burns was last seen on December 19th, 2023 at his residence in Delaware County. 4. A diligent search was conducted. However, Brian Burns could not and has not been found. 5. Circumstances surrounding the disappearance, which include but are not limited to Brian Burns' disabilities and the weather at the time of his disappearance, provide reasonable grounds he suffered death from accidental or other violent means. 6. A jury of 6 qualified persons should be empaneled to inquire into the facts surrounding Brian Burns' disappearance and the presumption to be raised therefrom. Wherefore, petitioner prays the court to empanel a jury of 6 qualified persons to inquire into the facts surrounding Brian Burns' disappearance and the presumption to be raised therefrom, and for such other and further relief as the court deems just and proper in the premises. And the back page is notarized and signed, and that's about it. A few things about this that struck me as interesting, I guess, are, for starters, it's been less than a decade since Brian Farmer Burns was last seen. That still feels sort of recent to me. Why the need to declare him dead? The family's attorney, John Carr, stated that the primary purpose was to bring closure to Brian's family and his 100-year-old mother. Carr said, it's been almost 8 years, and there's no evidence that he's still alive. My heart really goes out to this family who has been through so much over the years, but in my opinion, having him declared dead when his whereabouts are still a complete mystery wouldn't necessarily bring closure to a family because there are still zero answers as to what happened to him. And once someone is declared dead, it would be my thinking that the case would be closed, which as a family member still looking for answers would scare me. I wouldn't want them to stop working on his case, but local investigators have assured me that they're still going to keep the case open. I've reached out to Sheriff John LeClaire to comment on this and other cases, and I haven't had a response yet, but I'm patiently waiting right now. But hey, I get it. He's a busy guy. He's got an important job to do. I get it. But our local newspaper, the Manchester Press, was able to reach him for comment, and here's what he said. Sheriff LeClaire said that although Brian Burns now is legally considered dead, the case regarding his disappearance will remain open. Though little evidence has emerged since 2013 to give an indication of what happened to him. We've had theories, but nothing has panned out, LeClaire said. And it's been incredibly frustrating with no evidence to go by. But I also reached out to Deputy Travis Hemsath from the Delaware County Sheriff's Office, and I was able to sit down with him, and we had a great conversation. Deputy Hemsath was the lead investigator on the Cornrake murder case, which is another local case I've covered, and I'll be releasing more info on that later. Hemsath has been on Court TV, and he's been quoted by lots of big TV shows from the work he's done on high-profile cases in our community. And Travis Hemsath is a great guy. We had a really good interview. I picked his brain about the disappearance of Brian Farmer Burns soon after Burns was legally declared dead. And although he couldn't say a ton about it, here's part of our interview.
Yeah, so my name is Travis Hemsath. I'm an investigator with the Delaware County Sheriff's Office. I've been in law enforcement for roughly a little over 15 years, currently in Delaware County. I obtained my degree, and I was actually, I started off as a deputy sheriff with the Howard County Sheriff's Office for about 3.5 years. And then I was hired with the Delaware County Sheriff's Office, and I've been here since. So
you're not originally from Manchester?
No, I'm originally from the Cresco area.
Okay.
Yep.
So when I moved here, well, I thought this town was perfect with no crime. No town is like that.
We're darn near close.
Yeah. But the crimes that are coming out of here, whoa, are like big time headlines. So shortly after I moved here, we had Jerry Burns and the Michelle Martinko case. And you didn't have any work on that at all, did you?
No, our agency wasn't involved in that. But technically speaking, that incident didn't occur at Delaware County.
Yeah, that's true. I know. Yeah. Local law enforcement wasn't really involved in that. But
no, that was a cold case out of Cedar Rapids.
Yes. So that was out of Cedar Rapids. I did an episode on that too, because Jerry Burns, when I lived on a farm west of town, he was like my behind neighbor, kind of. And we bought our Hustler lawnmower from him and stuff. And I was like, ah. Such a shock, though, to the community finding out that a brutal murderer has been living here, you know, for so long. I don't know.
Yeah.
No comment.
I'm not commenting on that case.
That's fine.
People can make their own determination on that. Yeah.
So, but I am going to say one more thing. There's some mystery surrounding that family as well. His cousin Brian Farmer Burns went missing a few years ago. The date when he went missing was kind of crazy. It was like the anniversary of Michelle Martinko's murder. There's a lot of stuff with that. And then his wife had committed suicide a few years back. And I've heard some things that, like, oh, maybe it wasn't a suicide. You probably weren't working here when any of that happened, were you?
What year was that? Are you talking during the suicide?
Yeah.
I don't know if I was. I wasn't at the scene, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was actually promoted to investigator, I believe it was 2011 or 12, yeah.
It was June of 2008.
2008, okay.
Yeah.
That had been a couple of years before I came here.
Yeah. Well, I personally am going to look into that a little more. I'm not law enforcement, but okay, let's talk about other cases.
Sure.
So, someone commits suicide with a shotgun. It's a woman. I mean, that's rare, right?
Depends.
How could a woman get her arms around a shotgun?
There's a will, there's a way. You can't sit back and say that. I mean, I know there's statistics out there that will say that females are more apt to cut or take pills.
Yeah.
And then men are generally, you will use a gun.
Yeah.
You know, you can use statistics all you want, but
still happens.
It still happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, like I said, it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. That's why you have to go by the facts. You mm-hmm. can't go by opinions or thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's do the facts lead you there? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Brian Farmer Burns, what you probably can comment is what's on public record.
Sure.
A month ago, he was declared legally dead after being missing for years. And that was an unsolved cold case. He's on the Iowa list of missing persons. He was until then, but he was declared legally dead.
Yes.
How does that process work? There was a trial, right? A jury trial, and they decided to declare him legally dead.
Yeah, I think the judge relies upon testimony.
Okay.
Basically, you know, they can provide, you know, they haven't heard or seen any, you know,
mm-hmm. no activity,
you know, signs.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't know what exactly. I wasn't there, but
okay.
I'm sure they'll take a combination of things to declare him legally deceased.
If I wanted to get a file on that trial, do I go to the courthouse for that or where do I go?
Yeah, you would go to the clerk's office.
Okay. Yep. Is that a closed case or is that open investigation?
No, it is open. I I shouldn't say I actually reopened it. I dug it out, and we've always been working on this case.
Mm-hmm.
But I reopened this case several months ago.
Okay.
And we're rolling.
Okay.
We're rolling pretty hard on it right now. Yeah. There's been.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we're starting to roll a little harder. Gotcha. With it, and you know, I'm not going to put any false hope or anything like that, but I'm hoping that we can find some resolution to this.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe it's possible? Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's possible.
I have heard so many rumors in town, and I know you can't comment on these, but when you get tips from people, no matter how crazy they may seem,
sure.
Do you follow up on those?
Everyone.
Yeah?
You have to. 99 might not be real. The one might.
I'll tell you those after I'm done recording.
Sure.
Just what I've heard. Oh, and you heard Deputy Hemsath and I discussing a suicide in our interview. I've mentioned this in other episodes, but it bears repeating. Jerry Burns' first wife, Patricia, the woman he was married to at the time that he killed Michelle Martinko, committed suicide on June 29th, 2008 by a self-inflicted gunshot wound using a shotgun in their home. Authorities at the time had no evidence to show there was foul play involved, and to my knowledge, it's never been looked into further. But it's just kind of another strange twist in this story. If Brian Farmer Burns had gone missing on any other date, maybe I wouldn't think much about it. But that's not how it happened. Brian Farmer Burns went missing on the very significant date of December 19th. The date that Michelle Martinko was murdered, and 3 days after a credible, anonymous tip was called into authorities. If Brian Burns wasn't related to the man who ended up being convicted of the grisly murder of Michelle Martinko almost 40 years prior, again, maybe I wouldn't think a whole lot about it. But that's not the case. Brian Farmer Burns is the cousin of Michelle's killer. What did Brian Farmer Burns know? And assuming that he's now deceased, what happened to him? Where is his body? It's a mystery that the town of Manchester deserves answers to. Brian Farmer Burns' family deserves answers. And I am on a mission to get those answers. I feel like somebody knows something in this case. Even though it seems like Brian Farmer Burns may have just disappeared into thin air, people do not just disappear. He deserves justice. He deserves a proper burial. His entire family deserves full closure, the kind that you only get once you have found your loved one's body and can bury them and memorialize them. And I think somebody knows something. If you are that somebody, you could be the key to solving this case. It's been 9 years. It's time for you to come forward. If you know anything, anything at all, however insignificant it may seem, please call the Delaware County Sheriff's Office at 563-927-3135. If speaking with law enforcement is not something you want to do, there are other ways you can help. You can contact True Crime IRL on social media. You can give an anonymous tip to Crime Stoppers. There are so many things you can do. But again, I'm going to give you the Delaware County Sheriff's Office phone number again. And if you have any insight into the Brian Farmer Burns disappearance, please call them at 563-927-3135. Next week, we're going to be talking about more Manchester mysteries. But for now, we're going to wrap up episode 5, and I will see you guys next time. And you know what to do until then. Lock your doors, people. Bye-bye. True Crime IRL is written, produced, and hosted by Kelly Behrens-Brink. Please subscribe to True Crime IRL wherever you get your podcasts and consider leaving a 5-star review. Go to truecrimeirl.com for more information. Support the show by becoming a Patreon donor. Go to patreon.com/truecrimeirlpodcast. You can also support the show by leaving a tip in the TCIRL tip jar. Go to truecrimeirl.com and click on the donate button, or buy merch in the TCIRL merch shop. truecrimeirl.com/merch. Watch True Crime IRL on YouTube at youtube.com/KellyBrinkTV. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at True Crime IRL, all one word. True Crime IRL theme music is produced by The Captain at True Crime Garage.